What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Doctorly Unhinged. I'm Dr. Shaw.
I'm Dr. Maxfield.
Where we talk about all things chaos in the skincare industry and beyond. Today, we have some heavy-hitting topics. It might potentially be our greatest episode ever. For reference, the episode that got the most views is our Ozempic face episode. So we have to beat that. We got to take this to the next level. And today we're going to be talking about a few things. First, we got to give our life updates. What's going on? Dr. Maxfield fell in love with a Barbie song and didn't even realize it. We're also going to be talking about 9 old school Southern tips that are still beneficial for the skin, or maybe they're not. What's going viral on TikTok right now and Instagram? Trap Tox, getting Botox in your trapezius muscle. Is it safe? Is it recommended? And finally, Amyris, our beloved Amyris, the holding company, the parent company of our beloved Biossance, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. We're going to be getting into that and what happens next in this episode of Doctorly Unhinged. Let's get into it.
Okay, so we will start with life updates. I have a life update. I wore this bracelet in the last video. And you can't see it. What the heck is it? This is functional. This is not for my health. This is for my protection.
No. Does it ward off sharks?
Yes, it does.
No. Dr. Maxfield subscribes to pseudoscience when he's in the ocean. And that pseudoscience involves a bracelet that wards off sharks.
Yeah, it does. So the my classic one that I love is the Shark Bands ankle bracelet with the magnets. Dude, the videos on that, if you've never watched them, just go watch them. They're very convincing. But my nurses have been talking and like they've been watching videos about shark attacks in the office. And I'm like, I don't even want to hear about this. Like, keep that away from me. But I can't keep it out of my mind. So now I have this little bracelet. I don't wear it during the day. I just wore it just so I could remember to talk about it. This one allegedly with salt water creates a small electrical current and wards off the sharks. So I'm doing everything I can.
I'm going to put on my bracelets. I'm a big bracelet guy, by the way. I used to go to every country, and every country I traveled to, I would get a bracelet from like a street vendor.
Oh, that's cool.
But this is my bracelet that TikTok sent me. It's my TikTok bracelet.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I'm pretty proud of that. Anyway, life update there. And then Dr. Maxfield fell in love with Barbie, a Barbie song. He posted to his Instagram how he was sad while listening to this song. He didn't realize that this was, who is it from?
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, but is a prominent feature of the Barbie movie, which he refused to watch, despite me giving it rave reviews on our previous episodes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what's, dude, the last movie I watched was Avatar 2, and that was with family. And the last movie before that was probably 5 years ago. I just don't make time for it. But the song is so sad. You know that song. I don't want to listen to it now or it's going to be stuck in my head and keep me up all night.
It's a great song. It's actually number 2 on my playlist right now after Drake's new song, which I don't even want to get into the Drake Bobby drama right now, which is a big, it's taken over my TikTok account. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. We need to talk about this offline. We need to create like a community around things that I'm stuck on that are totally unrelated to skin, but there's this drama going on between Drake the rapper and Bobby Altoff the podcaster, and I'm very curious about what's going on. But yeah, it's actually moved down to number 4 on my playlist right now. But either way, I'm a big fan of that song, Billie Eilish song from the Barbie movie. Let's talk about the 9 old school tips. This is coming out of southernliving.com, old school beauty tips that still work and whether or not we agree with them. We'll start with the first one, which is waking up your face. So in Southern grandmother terms, apparently they use the phrase put on your face. Now, have you heard this, Dr. Maxfield, as a Southern adoptee?
Oh, yeah. You put on your face. Oh, yeah. How have you not heard this term? Yeah, I'm a Southern by marriage. I'm
because I wake up like this.
I don't know. I'm from Colorado, but wake up like this. Oh, my gosh. This is not true. It might be true, actually. But yeah, I've heard that term. I heard it growing up. I do hear it still in my local population, I guess. Yeah. So anyway, they're saying, put on your face, which of course is to apply your makeup. You wake your face up first by putting it in a bowl of ice water for 5 seconds. Repeat 3 times. Not only does it depuff or tighten pores, but it also energizes you through that day. Or for the day. What is your initial reaction to that?
I think this might actually turn into two separate conversations. And the second conversation I'm not equipped to discuss right now due to lack of knowledge. But the first discussion, do you need to be dunking your face in ice water in the morning? The answer is probably no. It's not going to have any long-term benefit. It'd certainly wake you up. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know necessarily that you want to put yourself to that level of stress, but regardless, it should help to temporarily depuff, maybe help a little bit with redness. It's just like these ice globes that we've talked about in the past and all these different cooling tools that they use. It's a substitute for that. It's a substitute for the cold spoon. Can you do it? Will it cause you any serious harm? Probably not. The second part of this discussion that I am not equipped to talk about is like ice dunking or like the ice baths.
Ice bath, right. I was going to go there too.
I don't know enough about it. I mean, I know that all of the health and wellness psychopaths are really in. I say that as somebody who's jealous of people that have that level of deliberation and dedication that I don't have. And so I'm jealous of them, and that's why. But I don't know enough about the ice baths to comment intelligently about whether or not they're actually beneficial for you. Do you know anything about this world?
No, I know the proponents for it say that it just like has a ton of data behind it. It's like an established fact. It's not up for debate. I don't know. I could see my life headed in this direction though, as I like gear up with my crazy diets and my eating habits being like very regimented, my exercise, all this stuff. That's going to be me. Like no question. I actually thought about doing this for 30 days. I probably will. But here's the thing I do think it does for you, because you talked about putting your face in the ice water and like how miserable that is. I think I'm a firm believer in this. If you wake up and you just like own your body, you like force it to go through something difficult, you're like discipline your body basically takes, your mind takes control of your body. The more you do that, I think it's good. I think it boosts endorphins. I think it like makes you mentally stronger, more resilient. And then I think that is, I personally at this point with no information, believe that that is a major part of the benefits people see from this. But we do know that like you have to burn more calories to keep your body warm when it's cold. So there's an obvious physiological side just to that as well, beyond the neurotransmitter part of this.
So the question then is, why do most heart attacks occur early in the morning?
Cortisol levels, maybe.
So is it cortisol related? Is it adrenaline related? And is shocking your body? I don't know. So these are two separate. This is why I said I'm not equipped to answer this question. Is it anything related to things that our body is put under a significant amount of stress right when it wakes up in the morning, either related to high levels of cortisol that peak in the morning, high levels of adrenaline that peak during the early hours in the morning? And is that increasing your risk of heart attack? And is increasing the stress on your body going to increase your risk of heart attack? I doubt it, but it's just something to contemplate. I feel like we need to gather all the facts, circulate back. Though I was never, ever, ever a big proponent of working out in the morning. And I have become a proponent. I do think that the rest of your day you have much more energy throughout the day, believe it or not, when you exercise in the morning, I find. And I'm just more pumped for the meetings. And so exercising in the morning has actually been something that I've personally implemented that's made a big change in my life.
This is interesting. Yeah, I knew you looked ripped today. It's either a tight little shirt
This is a big shirt. This is a medium, which is a big shirt for me, because I was one of those people that refused to accept that I was gaining too much weight for a small. So this is a medium. I'm wearing my actual size and I'm feeling bulky.
Jeez, Dr. Swole MD over there. All right, next hack. We won't touch on all of them because some of them I can't speak to intelligently. Like softening your eyeliner. I don't have strong opinions on that. But next one is slathering on Pond's. So Pond's cream is at the top of the list. Southern mothers have sworn by this multi-purpose moisturizer for decades.
Yeah, so Pond's cold cream. This is sort of interesting. So Pond's cold cream is something that has been, again, like they said here, this has been a popular thing amongst moms, grandmoms, from now until the end of time, right? But it's not something, interestingly enough, that took off during this craze of social media pushes, which to me is sort of an interesting thing, just because so many of these old hacks, like even something like Albaline, Vaseline, CeraVe, things that are very much not sexy, took off. So you would think Ponds would be part of that group because it's also something that's very much not sexy. So Ponds cold cream is really a cleanser. Some people can use it as a moisturizer, but it's really meant to be a cleanser, from my understanding, to remove makeup. So it was actually for like your first makeup balm, I would maybe say, one of the original makeup balms. Now, I think they have a fragrance-free version and a fragrance version. Could be completely wrong. I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be life-changing in your routine, but I actually think it's a good staple that's probably underrated in our social media days. I think it's something that people can use to remove makeup that's actually going to be pretty gentle on the skin and do a pretty good job removing that makeup versus your traditional makeup wipes.
Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan of cleansing balms. In fact, I'm a little obsessed with them because for most of my life, I just like would scrub and scrub and scrub to try to get sunscreen off. And then I found the cleansing balm, and that's like, it was a game changer. And my skin loves it. I actually think it prefers it over my cellar water. I never feel like I need to wash off or moisturize after a cleansing balm, because a lot of them, like the Neutrogena one, the CeraVe one, they're pretty darn hydrating. And that's kind of the purpose. They're oil soluble. They have a lot of nice skin oils. Therefore, they can dissolve the oil-soluble products like sunscreen and makeup. So after you wipe them off, your skin feels pretty good. So
we're going to have to do a whole video dedicated to makeup removing, and specifically makeup balms, because not all makeup balms are created equal.
Oh, no.
This is something that I certainly learned. And yeah. I'm actually, you heard it here first, not the biggest fan.
That's crazy.
Of the CeraVe makeup remover.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm a huge fan of makeup balms.
Oh, okay. That's what you didn't say. I was like, don't you say that.
But not a huge fan of the efficacy.
Hmm.
And I'm not obviously the best person to ask about this, which is why we're going to probably have to employ somebody who wears makeup.
Right.
For this video.
James.
But
does he wear makeup? His brother.
His brother's a makeup artist.
Yeah. So, how cool.
We can certainly employ somebody like that, or you know, any other we'll bring a makeup artist on and we'll do like maybe a real comparison of this, but I think it would be valuable, cool. But I certainly don't think they're all created equal. We'd love to hear what your favorites are and then maybe potentially review those as well. But this would fall into that category. It's almost like a makeup moisturizer balm. It has the same sort of function of a makeup balm, and it's been around since makeup balms were popular. And so, so I think it's actually something worthwhile. So yeah, I think certainly Southern Living, you're onto something here with this. And then the next one is softening your eyeliner. I don't know anything about this, so we're going to skip over that. And then applying Vaseline before perfume. So according to this trick in Southern Living, you can apply Vaseline before your perfume, which helps your perfume last longer.
Yeah, what do you think about that? This. Yeah, we talked about this already. I think it's a good idea. It would decrease absorption. That's the theory behind why it might last longer, in my opinion. And then also, you are decreasing the contact. You're putting a barrier in between your skin and a volatile, potential allergenic substance. So it's like a win-win-win if you find a third win.
Done it once, so I can't comment on like how well it works. But I in theory think it's a genius idea, and I think it probably works. So I think we've talked about this before, like Dr. Maxfield said. I think we both agreed then that it was a good idea.
Yeah, and I don't wear cologne. I haven't worn cologne since probably prom. Abercrombie Fierce. And that was probably the last time I wore cologne. And it was my friend's cologne, too.
I got a lot of colognes I need to introduce you to. I'm big in the cologne game.
I know you are, bigger. Which is so funny to me.
Well, I spray it on my clothes, and then I'm a huge fan. So any of you know what this smell is, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a hotel called The One Hotel, and they have a scent in the lobby of this hotel and in the rooms. And I think they probably pump it through the vents. And I actually have this fragrance in my house. And I believe it's Santal 33 or Santal 33 or one of the Santals, which is a fragrance company, I believe. I have like the dupe of it, essentially. And it just smells so good as like a house fragrance. Like there's no better scent in my mind than this scent. So huge fan of that, and totally unrelated to what we're talking about. But I do like fragrances quite a bit. My brother works for Prada Fragrances. So I get to expose to a lot of his fragrances there as well.
I love it. It's so good.
Next up on this list is breaking out the bio oil. And it basically says for more than 35 years, BioOil has inspired a loyalty that rivals the Windex bottle in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And it says there's no scar, dry patch, stretch mark, or scratch that BioOil cannot fix. What are our thoughts on BioOil? I have a strong opinion here.
Do you? I'm trying to look right now, like what are the oils in BioOil specifically?
So the main thing in it that gives its moisturizing properties is that it has a high concentration of mineral oil.
Oh, that's interesting.
After mineral oil,
yes,
is lavender oil, rosemary leaf oil, calendula oil.
Ooh.
It does have sunflower seed oil, which we
the
like.
Bottom.
And then it also has fragrance in it. And then it has retinol palmitate, not like a, retinol specifically. So it's not great, to be honest. I mean, it's essentially just mineral oil and is doing most of the heavy lifting here. And I'm not a big fan of BioOil. In fact, for scars, I think everything that it promises to do, it under delivers on. And I would prefer if people stopped using it.
Yeah, looking at the list, and goodness, I'm 100% with you. Yeah, I mean, if your heavy hitter is sunflower oil, which is not in the top five ingredients, and then mineral oil is really carrying the team. Plus, it has a lot of potential problematic ingredients. How has that had some staying power? That's surprising.
Oh, it's very, very popular for scars and stretch marks. Mm. And I think the reason why is that it's underrated how important moisturizing in general is for scars and stress marks.
Hmm.
And BioOil is a decent moisturizer with the sunflower oil, and the mineral oil has some occlusive properties. And so just by keeping these areas hydrated, you probably will notice an improvement, but it comes with a laundry list of other ingredients that are going to potentially irritate your healing scar. And so I would just personally avoid that one ultimately. But overall, the list is doing pretty good. I think we got to breeze through this now, but yep. Sleeping on silk. I've talked about this before. I'm a big proponent, even though there's pretty much no scientific truth that it works, but I like the feeling and I think it helps. Velcro rollers. I believe this is to curl your hair or give your hair a bounce. I don't know enough about hairstyles to know whether or not that's helpful. And then putting castor oil on your eyelashes. This one is one that never seems to go away. There really isn't. I mean, they've done some animal studies, I think, on like rabbits, unfortunately, about castor oil being beneficial for hair growth. Beyond that, I don't know of any studies in humans, and I haven't looked in a while, so I could be wrong. But castor oil is one of the few oils that's been passed down from generation to generation, even within my culture. I don't really know that there's any scientific evidence that it's an oil that helps with eyelash growth. I think there are other oils out there that have more scientific evidence. So I'm not a huge proponent. I don't think it will cause you much harm, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think it overpromises, and that's probably the worst thing about it. But I don't know. I wouldn't use it for anything. As a dermatologist or an individual, I really wouldn't use castor oil for any dedicated purpose.
And the last one here is warming up your eyelash curler. I don't know enough about that, but be careful with anything warm around the eye. Otherwise, I think this list is pretty interesting. There's definitely some good hacks in there. We've done a lot of myth busting around sort of things that have been passed down from our parents, which they obviously, I always talk about ancient wisdom and how I believe in it strongly. Some of them are clear winners, like we talked about Vicks Vapor Rub for fungus, toenail infections, things like that. But some of these are misses, so it's a hit and a miss.
Yeah, I agree. So next up, I'll let you intro this one.
So we're talking about, what drew this to our attention, and then it became a bigger discussion offline, was Revance, which is the company that owns Daxxify, recently got FDA approval to use Daxxify for neck muscle spasms. So for cervical dystonia, I believe, is what it officially got approved for. But so painful contractions of the muscles of the neck, it got approved for that. And Botox is used for that as well. So it's used to help with spasmatic torticollis, things like muscle contraction, because neuromodulators in general, Botox, Daxxify, these types of products paralyze muscles. They also help with conditions where painful muscle contractions occur. It even helps with blepharospasms when your eye twitches. And so it can certainly help with painful muscle contractions. And this led to a bigger discussion of something that's been going crazy viral on social media called Trap Tox, where people are getting, for cosmetic purposes, they're getting injections into their neck to help actually their silhouette. So we can show you an image if you're watching this on YouTube of what a before and after looks like of Trap Tox. But your trapezius muscle is a muscle that forms almost a trapezoid shape, but it starts on the occiput of your neck and goes down your cervical spine, and then it also attaches on your scapula. And so it goes all the way up from like your the middle of your neck all the way down to kind of your like mid lower back in the thoracic area. And so it's a pretty large spanning muscle. But the area you probably all notice it the most is you know right above the clavicle, right by the neck, where it you know gives you that trapezius shape, and it helps you to you know lift the shoulder up and abduct the shoulder above the head. And so it has all these different functions, but some people don't like the appearance of the trapezius muscle, which when I was growing up is sort of interesting because we would specifically lift in order to accentuate the trapezius muscle. Like we would do trap exercises where we would like rotate the shoulders up, and we would bench press above the shoulders just to embellish this. And you know, a lot of guys wear like kind of wide neck shirts, like open neck shirts, just so that they can show their trapezius muscle off. Now, mm-hmm. A lot of people on the other side are getting this injected to slim the appearance of it, to make it look more miniaturized. So it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I just pulled my collar down a little bit. This is a little trap tease. I'm just kidding. Okay, moving on. No, but it's a thing. Like, could it work? If you use Botox into your trapezius muscle, could it work? I've actually been surprised with the before and after pictures. This is not something I have done. I don't perform this procedure specifically, so I don't have any firsthand experience with how it performs consistently for my patients. But the before and afters are pretty impressive. I've looked at different units, and I'm surprised by the volume of units, because sometimes they're comparable to the volume of units you'll use in your forehead and glabella, and your trapezius muscles are often much bigger in volume, not just size like up and down, but depth, volume. So could it work? Yes. Functionally, could it work? Yes. Could it have problems? I have heard of people having problems with like weak necks, not from this necessarily, but when they get the occipital injections of Botox for migraines and headaches and things like that. But I think, again, we talked about this last week, you can use this deliberately, and it's kind of a way to be innovative and functional with an ingredient that has a very dedicated purpose.
Yeah, I think that this role that we're seeing popularized, which is basically slimming the silhouette of the upper neck, is very similar to a trend that was very popular about a year before this, which is masseter Botox. Getting injections of Botox into the masseter muscle to basically slim the jaw. And this goes back to my whole thing where I always said since the beginning of time, since the beginning of our channel, that Botox causes muscle atrophy. Because you're not moving a muscle, it will atrophy the muscle. And I've been debated on this by people where they're like, no, if you get Botox in the forehead, it won't atrophy the muscles in the forehead. Like, it certainly will atrophy the muscles. It's just the muscles aren't so bulky there that you notice the difference. But if you get injections of what we're taking advantage of with Botox in this scenarios, in both of these scenarios, is its ability to atrophy muscles by not allowing you to use them. And so if you were to atrophy the muscles of the jaw, it will slim the jaw. And if you were to paralyze the trap muscle, it would atrophy the trap muscle, would make the trap muscle smaller, which would give you a more petite silhouette, let's say. And the before and afters, like Dr. Maxfield was saying, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see are pretty phenomenal changes here. Now, I don't know if that's the only thing that these people did, but it could certainly work. And I agree with Dr. Maxfield. I've never done this. I've done quite a bit of masseter Botox, but I've never done trapezius Botox, but I imagine you need more volume than this. And the reason why I say that is because even if you were to treat, you know, what this is being approved for, which is like the spasms of the neck, cervical dystonia, you're going to be using oftentimes more than 50 units in order to treat that. And so, like, I think the studies show that for cervical dystonia, they're injecting like 250 units.
Yeah.
And so I think 50 units could maybe make a small difference, but I imagine to have any noticeable difference, because people use 30 units into the masseter each.
Mm-hmm.
So having the trap being, you know, triple, quadruple, 10x the size, you imagine that you probably need to inject more, which can be pretty costly, because it's going to cost you the same. It's going to cost you the same as it would cost you to inject into the forehead. The unit cost is the same for the physician. The delivery cost is the same for the physician. So they're probably going to charge you the same amount. But if you look at these pictures and you like this look, I think it's worth exploring beyond the benefits that it has on the desired silhouette that you may be looking for. It also helps with, you know, muscle spasms, like I mentioned. It also helps with people that get, like, you know, the cervical types of headaches. And so oftentimes headache, you know, neurologists that specialize in headache, they'll inject the trabesius for people who do get these, like, you know, these types of tension headaches. And so it certainly can help with people that have that. Now, side effects, like Dr. Maxfield was saying, it can certainly give you difficulty with, you know, keeping your head straight. It can also give you difficulty with rotating your shoulder. It can also drop your shoulder. And so you don't want to inject too much. So maybe it is better to start with lower doses and increase it from there.
Yeah. All that sounds, I mean, all that's very true. Just again, it's going to be personalized. And I think this is one of those things, you're going to have a good injector, hopefully, with you who's been doing this before. And I know the training will be pretty straightforward. A lot of this, a lot of Botox training, these cosmetic trainings, you kind of just build off of your current knowledge base. So it's not like you have to do a year of school to go through trap talks after you've done Botox everywhere else. It's more like, these are the key points. This is what you do. And then you kind of move forward in there and build your personal experience with it.
Right. I always say, pretty much, if you learn to inject anything, if you can do surgery on the face, you could probably inject, you know, a Botox into the trapezius muscles. Sort of same skill sets. But we have to wrap here. But we will talk about this Amyris bankruptcy in a next episode. To me, this is something that I'm really passionate about, the business side of skincare, but also the brand in general. And so I'm really curious to see what happens with these brands next. They have incredible technology and incredible products that we've supported over the past 3 years. And so it would be a shame to see those products be taken off the market. I imagine they won't be. So we'll talk about Amyris in next week's episode. So stay tuned for that. And we appreciate you all so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you all so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
See you in the next episode.